Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. We are dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister to those who struggle with homosexuality. We believe restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. I'm so very, very glad that you could tune in once again for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. For the past several weeks, I have been sharing what I believe are principles and biblical truths regarding God's position on homosexuality. Once again, while I'm certain that our position at His Way Out Ministries will seem very judgmental to some, I have endeavored to present that while homosexual behavior in God's eyes is a sin, I have done so not to condemn, but hopefully and prayerfully to enable people to receive God's grace and extend it to others as well. Therefore, this morning and for the weeks to come, I will continue turning our attention to the undeniable biblical facts regarding human sexuality. I cannot overemphasize the reality and foundational truth that God has and continues to reveal Himself through the Holy Bible. Consequently, if I identify myself as a Christian, I must embrace the totality of Scripture or not at all. It is really only through an atmosphere of hunger, utter dependency, and willingness to obey God's word that He imparts His will and thereby empowers us to be overcomers. This morning, I would like to take us in a bit of a different direction. And I'm going to title this morning's teaching, Homosexuality versus the Authority of Scripture. I will first and foremost pose what I believe is a very, very important question. What is causing so many men and women to radically dismiss and depart from the scriptural model of Christian sexuality? Almost on a weekly basis, I hear, "I know what the scriptures have to say about living within God's holy boundary lines regarding sexual expression. However, I'm going to follow my feelings and emotions rather than the truth I know." Today, far too many are banking their entire being on, "Well, since God is love, how can any form of sexual expression be unacceptable to Him?" What has happened to the fact and reality that God is holy and calls all of His followers to holiness, which points directly to the fact that He is a God also to be feared as well? Christians are the temple of the living God. God has said, "I will be their God, and they will be my people. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Considering God's promises, every Christ follower is to pursue godliness and holiness and abstain from anything and everything that seeks to contaminate body and spirit. It is this call to holiness by God Himself when He said, "Be holy as I am holy," 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And that must always be the deciding factor. Every Christian is to endeavor to do what is good in God's sight and not to yield to the evil desires of our heart, whether those desires are heterosexual or homosexual in nature. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, we are called by God to purify ourselves by obeying the truth. Frankly, even desiring a person to fulfill any form or degree of sexual pleasure is sinful according to Jesus' definition in His Sermon on the Mount. Listen carefully to Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. "If you look on a woman to lust after her, you have already committed the sin in your heart." Today, far too many men and women have tragically bought into the lie that they can never be free from sexual and relational brokenness. That is simply not true. Every person in the throes of any addiction will say, at least at some point, "I feel this desire is so strong that I don't believe I will ever be able to get rid of it." But the truth is, the scriptures say you can be set free. Listen carefully to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, when you and I look at the root causes of heterosexual sexual addictions and homosexuality, it is obvious that they are all rooted in the lie that someone of the same or opposite sex will be everything that you and I need. What a lie of the enemy of our soul. Is it any wonder the Bible states in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. No doubt, there is intoxication to the point of consuming one's entire being involved in sexual desire, and this scripture shows us that there is a trap to sin, and it is Satan's trap. In his mercy, God touches us and grants us a reprieve, enabling us to return to our senses when we have temporarily gone out of our mind with ungodly desires. Anyone that has given in to allowing sexual desire to consume to the point of dictating their entire being and identity knows the irrationality of sexual and relational brokenness. When anyone works to uproot the evil desires of sexual brokenness, once again, heterosexual or homosexual, male or female, adult or teenager, no one should ever be distressed by every thought or desire and think that God hates them. Instead, we should all know that He is always extremely pleased with any of us who work to be free from sin and believe He is right there to strengthen and uphold us as we believe in His love and His care. God knows it takes time to work through the issues of our life to arrive at a place of freedom. He understands all that you are going through. Resist things that tempt you by taking each and every one to the Lord. Frankly, at the end of the day, God is the only one who truly knows and understands us. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. I, like many other men and women, once bought into the notion, once gay, always gay. After exhausting everything this world had to offer and everything that gay seemingly had to offer, I surrendered my life to Christ Jesus on October 5th, 1985, and everything in life changed. Freedom from the gay identity is indeed possible through a genuine, deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I would like to share with you the life-changing message, truth, and power of God's Word, which freed me from homosexuality. For more information, please visit HisWayOut.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. Throughout the Bible, there is a consistent unfolding of the truth that God had and He has a divine intent for human sexuality. To be sure, since God has revealed Himself and His plan through the Holy Bible, Scripture provides the way to victorious living here on earth. Indeed, there is great, great reward in living by God's Word. But tragically and unfortunately, for men and women that have struggled with same-sex attraction, more than not, there has been little hope offered to these men and women. But that does not minimize the truth that God still is in. He remains in the business of transforming lives. However, in order to accomplish the work in a life that He desires, the individual must first agree fully with His Word and allow Him to do the sovereign work that He alone can do. I really believe we all would do well to remember that God never has, nor will He ever simply call us just to be believers. He has called each and every one of us, each and every Christian, to be a disciple, which means and will always require that our hearts are intentionally submitted to Him on a daily basis for ongoing renovation. But somehow, what has oozed into far too many Christians' thinking is, if I can just cram enough of God's word into my mind, that will provide the healing, the deliverance, the restoration that I am in need of. No, I disagree. Indeed, each and every Christian should keep their nose buried in God's word. However, knowledge alone will not enable the restoration to occur in our lives that we seek. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says that we are to study to show ourselves approved. There must be a balance of both mind and heart. Next Sunday, when we all gather together in churches all over this world, I would encourage you, each and every one, as you enter into a time of worship, reckon with the truth and reality that it's not just a time to sing. You and I were created specifically for worship. And always, always, always enter into a time of worship knowing you are entering, literally, God's transformation chamber. Without a doubt, Scripture provides overwhelmingly evidence, abundant evidence, that any man or woman that may have been practicing any number of unhealthy behaviors contrary to God's word and His will can find forgiveness, can find freedom, and can find restoration. But where does that man or woman in tremendous need of God's mercy and grace begin? Where does the journey to wholeness begin? It begins literally with setting ourselves in agreement with God that all Scripture is for our well-being and was divinely given to the prophets of old without error in its original delivery. The Bible is not just some collection of man-made myths or opinions. Yes, you and I follow both the red and the black print, embracing the truth that since God is all-knowing, He is indeed trying to protect you and I from unseen danger. Let me just say it very, very plainly. What you and I feel, what you and I think, must always take a back seat to whom God is and what He has clearly, clearly said. Personally, I am saddened when those entering into a scriptural debate regarding homosexuality dismiss and sometimes even conveniently overlook the book of Genesis with specific regard to chapters 1 and 2. It is abundantly clear that God created both sexes as complements and counterparts to each other. The man and the woman were created in such a way as to cleave together, both spiritually and physically, and they were to live in a heterosexual, monogamous relationship. In other words, the two, a man and a woman, become one. They remain faithful to one another till death do they part, as the marriage vow states, never stepping over or beyond God's holy boundary lines. Now, why such emphatic, clear lines? Why so strict? Why so black and white? Since He is God and thereby all-knowing, once again, He is trying, because of His pure, true, undefiled love for each and every one of us, to protect us. I find it particularly intriguing that God, while He was creating and establishing His intent for human sexuality, seeing that it was not good for the man to be alone, provided a suitable helper, a woman, for the man. He did not create a woman and another man and then bring them before Adam and say, "Now you choose." Therefore, according to Genesis 1 and 2, an appropriate question to pose is, what is normal in terms of God's plan for human sexuality? I believe really the answer is very, very clear. What God set forth between a man and a woman in the Garden of Eden. Any behavior beyond God's original intent is not normal and not acceptable to God. Clearly, while God's divine intent for human sexuality is fulfilled within a covenant of monogamous heterosexual union, then homosexuality must be viewed as a manifestation of fallen nature and a violation of created intent, as well as numerous other behaviors such as adultery, incest, prostitution, and as well being highly sexually promiscuous. There is something about sexual sin that does particular damage to us, because God had a plan from the beginning that a man and a woman should remain a permanently bonded team with the potential for creating new life, then any activity outside of that purpose would be detrimental, not to mention being in rebellion to the one who created us. Today, I remain convinced that God wants us to believe that He is holy, that He loves us profoundly, and once again, His holy boundary lines for living are meant for our good and ultimately to keep us from destroying His purpose, His plan, from being unfulfilled. However, even when God's abundant grace has been abundantly bestowed upon us, you and I still have a choice of whether or not to stop a sinful behavior or not. When God prescribes a course of action, once again, I'll refer to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, He also sends His Spirit to support and back up our willingness to be obedient. Every one of us needs the power of God to work in us, thereby giving us the home court advantage. Having a personal relationship with Christ and embracing Scripture in its entirety enables each and every one of us to fight from a position of victory and not defeat. By accepting Christ Jesus' sacrifice of dying in our place and letting His Spirit rule in our lives, we are accepting God's plan of redemption. Jesus said while He was here on this earth, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 14, verse 6. Indeed, God has revealed Himself and His plan through the Holy Bible. The Holy Spirit is the author of the entire Bible, presenting the way to eternal life with God and the true answer to victorious living here on earth. What is truly alarming to me, as I travel not only throughout the United States but abroad, is a dividing line that there seems to be in whether or not the Bible is inspired and without error in its original delivery to the prophets from God, or whether it is just a collection of myths and man-made opinions. Do you and I follow only the red print, or are the teachings of Paul included in the Bible's inspiration? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 tells us, "Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." In other words, God breathed every word contained in your Bible and mine, and man wrote it down. God's Word is our textbook for life, and within His Word, we find all kinds of holy boundary lines that are placed there for our ultimate well-being and protection. Tragically, there are those that have taken Scripture regarding homosexuality and rewritten, if not at times, twisted the Scriptures beyond belief to say something entirely different than God's position and His divine intent. Indeed, we have ultimately arrived at homosexuality not being about homosexuality any longer. The critical issue that we have faced now for many, many years, and the critical issue that you and I face today, really is not about homosexuality, but rather the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the authority of Scripture. If I define myself as a true Christian, meaning that I am a follower of Jesus Christ and all of His teachings, then once again, I believe it important to repeat and share. Whatever we feel Whatever we think must always take a back seat to whom God is and what He has clearly said. Therefore, I want to briefly present a few responses to some of the most common biblical and theological arguments heard today in pro-gay religious groups regarding homosexuality. There are those that argue that the scriptures which clearly define homosexuality as a sin have been taken entirely out of context and they have been mistranslated. Are you and I really to believe that the Bible translators we rely upon got it wrong each and every time, 5 different times, and in 2 different testaments, and only on the scriptures regarding homosexuality? Those that promote homosexuality as an okay alternate lifestyle with God don't seem to have any problem with other scriptures that condemn such sins as adultery or child abuse. The fact remains, and the truth will continue to prevail, that the scriptures in Leviticus, in Romans, and 1 Corinthians, just to mention a few, are each mentioned in the context of sexual and immoral behavior. The context is abundantly clear. A variety of behaviors are prohibited. Homosexuality, along with adultery, fornication, and idolatry is just one of them. Within the entire Word of God, there is not a single positive statement offered that homosexuality is acceptable to God. Each and every time it is mentioned, it is always presented as a behavior, and once again, there are certainly many others in which a person is to refrain from practicing. In terms of Scripture and the church, the authority of Scripture and the church's integrity is compromised when those professing to be Christians misrepresent Christianity. When people claiming to follow Christ misrepresent Him through immorality, Christians need to speak up and present the truth. If homosexuals are comfortable with their behavior, that is one matter. However, when they say it is done with the blessings of Christianity, the church should insist, as the Apostle Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, which says, "The Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Scripture says that what a man sows, he will also reap. After surrendering to Christ and entering God's kingdom, every person must diligently seek to learn about the things of God. Undeniably, the Bible gives us clear instruction on how to live productive, meaningful lives. Ignorance of God's laws do not excuse us. When we encounter these laws, we pay a price. No one escapes the principles of cause and effect. All can gain, Christian and non-Christian alike, from the wisdom found in the Bible. For the many men and women that have made the journey out of homosexuality, each one did so by embracing Christ's lordship over their lives, which, to be perfectly clear, includes one's sexuality, and by also embracing the authority of Scripture. First and foremost, they each wanted Christ and all that He offers. Change in their lives occurred as a byproduct of their relationship with Him. Ultimately, the many sacrifices each made brought them into a win-win situation, a better life on earth, and a perfect life in the hereafter. Not so surprising, since God has promised when His word goes forth, it never, ever returns void. I would like to share with you once again, as I have in previous broadcasts, that His Way Out Ministries has a very, very specific calling. And we also, as a result, offer very, very specific ministry services. We offer biblical discipleship, which is biblical guidance and prayer support, available to each and every one in person by phone or via email. We offer a variety of care groups. Encouragement and support is offered through His Way Out Ministry for persons desiring freedom from homosexuality, as well as family members and spouses and friends of those who struggle with homosexuality. We offer a variety of workshops and seminars, offering education and training sessions for adults and youth, and where we provide biblical truths about homosexuality. We identify the root causes and always, always encourage a compassionate Christian response. As well, we offer a variety of educational resources. Our website offers a wealth of information, testimonies, educational videos, a vast array of various articles. We also have our monthly newsletter, which is often posted to our website at the beginning of each month. And we also have our Vimeo channel, once again, where you will find a wide selection of various educational videos. And all of this information is to help you understand the complexities of homosexuality and related issues. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. Today, with the increasing acceptance of homosexuality, many Christian families are frequently finding themselves caught in the crossfire of sounding too harsh or too accommodating. How do they effectively reach out to their loved one without compromising what the Bible says about homosexual practice? At His Way Out Ministries, we offer them the same grace, understanding, and love that Christ offered us. His Way Out Ministries offers biblical guidance, encouragement, and support to help families face and deal with homosexual issues in the family. For more information, please contact His Way Out Ministries at 661-432-7856 or visit hiswayout.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast.
The next broadcast, I'm going to be turning our attention to the topic that I've titled, The High Toll of Silence. And we're going to focus upon a concern that I have, and certainly I am not alone. Many have the same concern. What is causing so many to adopt and apply the silent mode regarding the subject of homosexuality? I continue to believe, as all of us believe at His Way Out Ministries, that God's church remains His vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity. There is a world of difference between telling a person something is wrong versus reaching to an individual. And I believe, as many others do as well, that we are under command and calling as ambassadors for Christ to extend our lives to the broken, to help them come into a relationship with Christ Jesus and walk with them into a place of healing, transformation, and wholeness. I want to thank you once again for joining me, and I hope you will tune in again next Saturday at the same time as we will continue once again, as I shared a moment ago, turning our attention to the topic, the high toll of silence. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
His Way Out is based on our concern regarding the issue of homosexuality, and we seek to minister to those within the church and the community at large with the truth of Scripture, the power of our testimony, and the dialogue of issues. For more information, contact His Way Out Ministries, 1830 Truxton Avenue, Suite 102 in Bakersfield, California, 93301, or find them on the web, hiswayout.com, or call 661-432-7856. And join us again next time for His Way Out with Pastor Philip Lee.